Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Listen, we're moving on, and I think that the next topic is really, really important. It's not that the topic before wasn't, but this is, you know, there are a lot of legal drugs around. A lot of people who are on a lot of prescriptive medication, different doctors prescribing medications. And at what point do these legal drugs become dangerous? And at what point do we become addicted to legal drugs? We always talk and we hear about recreational drugs and drug addiction. And there are many people out there who are addicted to prescriptive meds. So Graham Hart, who is an addiction counselor, is joining us. And he's from Netcare Akeso, Stepping Stones, to talk about what I think is a really, really important topic. Graham, welcome. And thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, good afternoon, Nikki. Thanks very much for inviting me on.
As I said, so important, I think, because until a person has experienced something like medication addiction, I mean, some people probably haven't even heard of medication addiction. So it can be hard to imagine how easy it is for substance dependency to take hold. Perhaps you can just take us through how legitimate medical use can develop into a serious problem and how prevalent it is.
Nikki, sure. Look, it's as you pointed out when you were in your opening, it's such a hidden problem because medication is often legitimately obtained through prescriptions or through pharmacies. The thing is, with pain management, now look, I want to stress, obviously, I'm not a medical doctor, so I don't want to go into their field. But from an addiction perspective, we are susceptible to abuse of prescription medications because of the fact that they do release dopamine and serotonin in our brains, and some of us are more susceptible than others. Look, in any given population, at least 10% of the population has a chance of becoming addicted to something. And the thing with prescription drugs is that people tend to take them more regularly because the pain then becomes less manageable. They tend to become emotionally attached to the tablets as well. And this can lead to depression and stuff like that, which continues the cycle.
Wow. Very interesting. So let's just have a look at this, because I mean, this is a show where people who, you know, we focus on cancer, but there are lots of other illnesses we look at, and there's a lot of pain management that is required. So you spoke about strong pain medication. So I'm looking at two areas here. First of all, I'm looking at for someone who is a recovering addict, who is then diagnosed and then is going to be put on the strong medication and what that would be like. And for someone who perhaps has not had an issue with this strong pain medication and now is taking it more and more. You talk about a physical and an emotional attachment. So what do you think are some of the factors that people should discuss with their treating doctors to help, you know, prevent a dependency on this medication later on?
Nikki, very good question. And I have come across quite a few people. Are you allowed to say sufferers of cancer? I don't want to offend anybody if that's the correct way to put it.
Yes, a cancer warrior, or absolutely.
Okay, cancer warrior in Akeso Stepping Stones. And a lot of them developed a problem, sometimes even with the news that they had contracted cancer, which obviously can be quite emotionally upsetting and traumatic. And the thing is, we sort of develop an attachment to it, and we need to inform all the practitioners that we're dealing with. So often somebody who is being treated for something like cancer will maybe be seeing more than one practitioner. They might be seeing a GP or a specialist or one or two other people. It's to make sure all of them know all of the medications that they are taking. They also need to inform the practitioner that they do, if they are aware that they have a tendency to become addicted, to let them. For example, somebody who's going in for an operation needs to let the anesthetist, pardon my lisping, know, and the person, the surgeon, that they have, that they do have an issue, so that they can be tapered off. So what I normally suggest to my patients is to let the hospital know, so that whilst you're still in hospital, they can start decreasing your dosage, so that by the time you leave, you're no longer dependent on it.
So very important to have that conversation, especially if you have had a dependency problem before. And as you've said, I mean, there's some people who could have an attachment problem, but maybe it's never manifested before, but would possibly once they start on the strong pain medication. So I suppose for most of us, it's not really considered like a concern or a red flag if someone's taking a lot of legal medication, or in this case, if they have cancer, for example, strong medication, pain medication. But do you think that you know, it's quite socially acceptable to take a lot of medication these days? There's a lot of prescription medication around. And do you think that that's getting in the way of you know, diagnosing whether people do have a dependency problem on prescribed medication?
Nikki, that's a good question. Look, obviously, you prefer the person themselves to be self-aware, and so that they could alert their loved ones. But of course, there can be some denial about that. People may not realize it themselves. So if you do have someone you're concerned about, be on the lookout for things like discarded empty prescription packaging, multiple prescriptions from different doctors or pharmacies, things like withdrawals, so clammy, sweatiness, irritability, depression, mood swings, that kind of change in behavior that they wouldn't normally expect, which can come from the withdrawals from the medication. And also, as you said, not everyone has the same reaction. So, for example, I was talking to someone during the week about codeine, which is available in various forms. Some people are highly susceptible to it, and other people take it and it doesn't affect them. So it is dependent on the person, because addiction lies within the person. The substance is addictive, but the actual addictive process is how the person reacts to it.
I mean, you talk about codeine. It just amazes me that, you know, in some countries there is no way you can get a cough mixture with codeine. And here it's pretty easy to get it, and it is so highly addictive and just so available, and so many people give it to young children as well. And that's why it's really important to have the conversations that sometimes over-the-counter medication and prescription medication, you know, where it's there to do good, can also do a lot of harm, and anything in excess can do harm, and how easy it is to become dependent or addicted to the certain substances or chemicals or whatever it is in these medications. You spoke about, you know, looking at withdrawal and clammy hands and sweatiness, and for a person who is watching another person who's on quite a lot of prescription medication, is there something that they should be looking out for? You know, we don't want to encourage people to look at, you know, their partners or family members or friends within a suspicious way, but are there any, again, red flags that they maybe should look at and maybe express concern if they do identify these symptoms?
Yes, look, there's the obvious physical things, you know, dilated pupils, redness of eyes, and erratic behavior. And mainly, they'll often be irritable, and possibly suffering with depression. So it's mainly behavioral because they'll try to hide. If they are in denial, they'll try to hide as much as possible their physical flags. So it's really to look at how are they behaving? Do they still do the normal tasks that they used to, or are they starting to become lethargic and disinterested, and suffering from anhedonia, loss of interest in, and a loss of purpose? Because unfortunately, with addiction, it is the substance you're using is to compensate for an emotional stress or trauma. So that is what you're on the lookout for. And as far as pure physical things, as I say, the eyes, the sweatiness, shaking of the hands, that kind of thing.
I know you, Graham, you said you're not a doctor, and I'm just wondering, we've been focusing quite a bit on pain medication and how addictive it can be. You spoke about codeine as well. And the medications out there that people take, because you said, one of the signs could be, first of all, there's irritability, it could be depression. Now, if we look at certain medications out there that are prescribed for depression or for anxiety, is there also a problem with becoming addicted to those kind of medications?
There's always potential because as I like to think of substance abuse more as a symptom rather than the illness itself. So in other words, I see addiction as probably resulting from trauma, also genetic susceptibility, and also from other mental issues, rather than the substance itself. The using of medication is more an expression of something else that is going on. So what you would look out for in the taking of antidepressants or anti-anxieties is the person sticking to what they've been prescribed. And it's as simple as that. If the psychiatrist has said, take one tablet or two tablets, or take one in the morning and one at night, and they're sticking to that, then that's fine. But the minute they start prescribing themselves and start taking more than what the psychiatrist says, that is when you can pick up that there's an issue.
And I'm sure it can be very dangerous because you are a psychiatrist is always looking for that right balance. It's like the right cocktail for the brain. You're looking at the chemistry in the brain, and when you start prescribing, your own and taking more, I can imagine that that could potentially cause a lot of issues. So when it comes to those kind of medications and deciding, okay, I'm taking too much and I need to reduce it, do you recommend that people go back to professionals to detox or to go off the medications? Is it something that you can just do cold turkey from your experience?
I absolutely encourage people to do it through the professionals. And I can tell you why, because anybody who's gone on to any sort of antidepressants, SSRIs, or that type of medication will know that you'd often get side effects before they start to help. So often for a period of a week or 10 days, the person actually doesn't get the benefit of those medications until they've settled into their system. And likewise, when they come off them, because also sometimes psychiatrists have to change their medication because they need to adjust them because maybe they're not working as well as they used to, or health circumstances have changed for the person. So they need to taper off and come off slowly. It's very dangerous to come off those kind of medications or anything like that cold turkey, because you can have seizures and things like that. It definitely, yes, I can't stress enough, do it through professionals.
So we're looking at there's a psychological, emotional point of view. You spoke about, you think that the addiction is the symptom, that there's a core pro issue around the addiction, and then there's the actual addiction and slowly weaning off the prescribed medication. So at Netcare Akeso, Graham, how do you, if someone had to come for consulting or for group therapy or whatever it is, how do you are you do you separate the two, or are they treated in the same way?
Well, we're at Jewel at Stepping Stones in Akeso and Komaki, where we are a dual diagnosis unit. So we deal both with the mental side of it, which can be depression, anxiety, bipolar, borderline personality, anything like that. And we also deal with addiction because they're comorbid often. So people with pre-existing mental condition are very susceptible to addiction. Somebody with bipolar has almost like a 70% chance of having a problem with addiction sometime in their life. There's also people who've previously had undiagnosed ADHD, all that kind of thing. So yes, what we look at is we tend to deal with the addiction first, then the trauma. So it's first to try and get them to accept that they have an issue with substance, and then to go deeper into the cause of that. So we would do a lot of group sessions because we feel that interacting with people who are going through similar things, often it helps because people tend to isolate. So it gives them a sense of hope and knowing that they're not alone. And then also one-to-one with therapists to go over their issues. And also we have psychiatrists and GPs that come in and help with detoxing and also helping them with diagnosing any medication that they may need.
So that sounds like, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. So it, would you say, well, that's rehab? That's why you would go into rehab for a month or 6 weeks or however long it is? Or would you say to someone, and we're talking quite specifically about these prescription medication, could someone carry on with their normal lives and then, just join one of these groups and then see a counselor or a therapist? Is it do you offer both? I mean, is it are both possible?
We do some outpatients. It's normally with people that have spent some of their time in here.
Okay.
So it often depends. Look, I think it depends on medical aid conditions. A lot of people have medical aid, but we also have private patients who will come in for short periods and then do an outpatient with one of the therapists that they've been assigned. And we do recommend ongoing therapy once they leave. It's just that initially, it's sort of helpful for someone to spend some time in this environment that we've got because it gives them a chance to sort of step out of their issues that they've got at home and reflect on going forward and their life and also to commit to it, a change, basically. You know, because change is very hard for people, because it takes them out their comfort zone, you know. So that's part of it,
Absolutely.
how would we do, you know?
It's so interesting, Graham. And I just want to say, thank you for taking us through this because, we started off with the pain medication, which is, so real and so necessary and so important for many cancer warriors on their journey. And then looking at all areas of prescription medication and how, to becoming dependent on these medications is a reality. So these legal drugs, really can become addictive and can be an issue. And really, that's what we wanted to highlight. So I thank you so much for joining us. Before we say goodbye, is there anything that you want to very quickly share with our audience before we let you go?
Just that I would like to tell people there's always hope. You know, as humans, we need hope. And I have known many people that have suffered with addiction, and also people that have come in with cancer and addiction and have managed to sort themselves out, or that's rather a bad way to put it. We've rather helped them on their journey. And it is possible. So don't give up. And if you do feel you have an issue, try and find the courage to go to someone and ask for help, because that does take courage, but it might be the best thing you ever do.
Thank you so much, Graham. It's really been a pleasure having you on the show, and we really appreciate your insights, and sharing of the information. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nikki.
Thank you. Graham Hart, addiction counselor at NetCare, Akeso Stepping Stones. Really have to be very, very careful about the prescription medication. And also, there's a reason why these prescriptions expire in 6 months' time. And very often, it has to do with the fact that you should be going back to the doctor who prescribed the medication to see if things have changed and to see whether you still need that medication. And you know, if it is pain medication and you have had dependency issues, that you communicated with your doctor and your doctor takes you through the process so that there are no issues around that. Very interesting. I'm wondering, Vusi, if we do have some Deal Link voice notes, because we always love to share what some of our cancer warriors have to say about working with the Deal Link and their experience of the Deal Link. So if we do have them, Vusi, then we can play them now. And I don't think we have them. Thank you for letting me know. So just to, before we do say goodbye to everybody, just to let you know once again that the Jerusalem Marathon is around the corner on the 4th of April, that it's way more than just a race, and it is a chance to achieve something great. And for those runners who are doing it, for the warriors, in the names of the warriors that it's being done, it's an extraordinary experience. So please do go along to the Deal Link website and support Team Deal Link, www.deallink.co.za. You can make any donations. And hey, if you miss part of the show and you'd like to listen to the show, you can listen to the podcast, which would be put up on the Chai FM website from tomorrow. So, for me, Nikki Severini, until next week, you take care and cheerio. Goodbye to you.